time for another WNST Baltimore Sports News Update. Here's Luke Jones.
Mike Elias talked about the decision to send Jackson Holliday back to the minors prior to Friday night's game against Oakland.
Hey, guys. I think everybody saw the moves today, so I'll just take questions on anything.
Why today? Why do you feel like this is the time to do this with Jackson?
About Jackson, the decision to option him today, just in general, I want to emphasize that this is a kid that is doing extremely well and is at the very infancy of his major league career. And, I don't know if anyone else from his age group or draft class, high school hitters are even out of the A-ball levels yet. And so I want to stress that he's doing very, very well and way ahead of the curve. And, this was a decision out of camp that was very borderline for me at the time. Got a lot of opinions. We had different opinions inside the organization. We ended up sending him down, and he hit really, really well in AAA for a couple of series, about 2 weeks. And so we decided to call him up and see how the translation to the major leagues would go on a short-term basis. And what we have seen here and had seen led me to the evaluation and the opinion that he would benefit from going back and adjusting there rather than doing it here in real time. We got looks like another slate of left-handed starters coming up too, pretty heavy. So it probably meant a lot of time sitting out of the starting lineup for him during those games, and he needs repetitions. And so I think the bright side of this is he got very intense, very specific feedback from Major League Pitching. He's a brilliant talent and a very sharp kid, and I expect he's going to go implement those adjustments really quickly, but we felt the AAA and steady playing time in AAA was the place for that for a number of different reasons, including like I said, his projected playing time for the next couple of weeks, but also, the fact that we've got a team in a tight race in the American League East, and it's just not a optimal place to be doing player development for a kid like him. So it's nothing that anything that Jackson did. We were the ones that have been moving him along this quickly. And, it's a little hiccup, and I think it's probably the first one that he's ever had, and he's ultimately going to be better off for it. This is something that we did, and, I think once it became clear to me that he would benefit better from going back to AAA, resetting his head first and foremost, but also making some adjustments at the plate, I wanted to do it as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Do you think he was surprised by the move?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. We had a long conversation today here, and he took it really, really well. And he's got a growth mindset. So I'm meaning that he's gonna kind of focus on what he wants to do differently and what he wants to do to be better. And I doubt he's looking in the rearview mirror too much, but. He took it very well. He's going to respond excellently, and I hope he's back up here really soon.
You said he got very specific feedback from his first taste of Major League Pitching. What was that feedback that maybe he got? What's maybe his marching orders going down there?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to specifically get into, what our hitting department would recommend that he do or what the plan is, and they do have a plan, and our hitting department here is very connected to the minor league hitting department and the AAA staff, and so they're talking a lot. This game up here, people attack your weaknesses until you stop showing them to be weaknesses. And and he kind of knows what that attack looks like right now, and hopefully we'll be able to concentrate his work on some of those areas.
When you look at what he did do up here, is it strikeout ratio, maybe the lack of hard hit balls, or what kind of stands out as the biggest flag for you guys looking at it?
I what stands out to me is that he's in the major leagues in this day and age at age 20, while every other baseball player on earth in his peer group is, as far as I can tell, in high A or lower, probably, unless I'm missing somebody. I don't want to stress any deficiencies that he may or may not have shown while he was here, because it's just unbelievable that he put himself in this position. I was the one that was faced with the decision on how and where to put him, and this is how it played out. And so, you know, I'm concentrating on that aspect. You know, we're the ones that tell him where to go play, and he's played exceptionally well and made a tremendous effort everywhere. And even while he was experiencing major league pitching for the first time, he played good defense at second base, which is a brand new thing for him too. So this kid's doing everything we asked of him. This is me without a crystal ball trying to make the right decision for a precocious talent. There's not a lot of playbook for how to handle somebody who was moving along as quickly and as well as he was. And this is kind of, for better or worse, this is kind of how it landed. And I just try to do the right thing in real time. And we think that he'll benefit from AAA right now.
Mike, I know you said there's a string of lefties coming up, and him wanting to see him play every day was a part of the decision. If his at-bats had different outcomes, if he had more success to this point, would you guys have felt better about him taking some of those days off?
I think it depends. I mean, look, we're lefty-righty matchups. It's probably more prevalent in major league clubhouses, major league front offices, major league managers' minds than it might be for people just watching the game. And so, even if he was on a different kind of role statistically, it's very possible that we got a lot of good right-handed players in this team that are struggling to get into the lineup on a regular basis too. We want to see those guys play. And so you've seen Brandon do a lot of mixing and matching based on platoon matchups. So I don't know that would have resulted in any kind of different playing time setups if the last couple weeks had gone differently or not. I really don't know. But in the current circumstances, we're looking at that. Very probable he was going to be sitting a lot of those games. It's not really productive in the current state for him to do that. So this is what we did.
What went into the decision to bring McKenna up as opposed to some of the other top prospects who are in Norfolk?
It's mainly the absence of Austin Hayes. And a 13-man position player unit is what's prescribed by the rules right now. It allows you to have a really deep bench. And we looked at our options, and for this upcoming stretch of play, thought it would be good to have the defensive profile, the speed that Orion brings on the bench, and an extra right-handed player, too.
In the minor, are you with Connor Norby? Just along those lines, is he a consideration?
He's doing really well. Connor's doing really well. I think it feels like he's been in AAA longer than he has. He's moved really quickly too. He was drafted in 2021 and has not played a full season in AAA yet. He's also somebody that is working on his defense, whether that's at second base, and he's also working out in the corner outfield too. So his time is coming. We're talking about him. You know, that he's a topic of conversation, which is always a good sign. But right now here and at least in the short term, this is what we're going with. And Heston and Ryan being the recent adds, and that's our position player roster until otherwise.
How much does the competitive position this team is in kind of play into your thinking with Jackson in terms of the decision to keep him here versus not, and the fact this team is trying to repeat and everything, all the aspirations that you stated for the team versus him personally?
I think the way that the competitive state influenced this dynamic is we have other really good infielders on this roster. And it's not easy to be better than those guys. And we're trying to win every game that we possibly can. So in terms of putting out our best options on a nightly basis, he's got competition because this is a good team.
In the minors, everything seemed very contextual, especially with the lefties coming up. It's like that seems to be the impetus. But was there an argument or a thought that 34 at-bats just isn't even enough to kind of get a sample, or do you feel like that is an adequate first look at what Jackson can do?
Look, none of this is ideal. And again, I want to stress, I'm ultimately responsible for how these things go. And, you know, so... But once the evaluation was made by my staff and me that it would be better if he was back in AAA, kind of resetting and making some small adjustments, hopefully, we didn't see any benefit in waiting any longer, you know, other than doing it for the sake of it. And so that didn't seem like a good reason to me. And so we want him to go play at the level that would be most beneficial for his development right now, and that's AAA. And, you know, we'll see what the future brings.
In the minor leagues, he was a player who walked as much as he struck out. Up here, again, small sample size, but he struck out about half of the time and really didn't walk much. Was that something that was surprising to you, or was that maybe past the sample size of it all, just one of the concerns when you saw him?
I've come to not get surprised at all with how different players respond to the translation from AAA to the majors, because it's huge, and it seems to be getting bigger in today's game, and we've seen it all. And all you got to do is look around this locker room in here to see examples, both pitchers and hitters, of guys were kind of similar, like what happened with Grayson. We were sort of borderline on adding him opening day. We went with somebody else. We called him up really quickly because we had an injury. He went through some struggles, went back down, reset, came up, and he's been the Grayson Rodriguez that this organization drafted and developed since then. So this jump is big. It's unpredictable. It's different for every guy. The bottom line is, to me, is Jackson is way ahead of the curve. He's doing everything we asked him to do. And, you know, we're the ones that have put him in different spots this year. And, you know, we try to make the best decisions that we possibly can on that front. But it's not always easy. And this was a very unique case.
Are the expectations for him and these other great prospects just too high at some time?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how these guys do it this day and age with so much written about them in real time online. It's not easy for them. It's all the more reason to be impressed by what professional athletes do.
Mike, you've talked about it in the past, wanting to, when you call some of your top prospects up, you want them to be able to stay here. We saw you send Grayson back last year. You talked about him coming back and being better. How tough is it for you to make these decisions to send these guys back down?
You know, it's hard because they, you know, it's a short-term setback for them, and it's not a good feeling. Ultimately, that's not the end of the world, and it's temporary. And if this was something that was, who knows if this was like a necessary step or not in his development. I don't really know. Ideally they come up and stay, but this happens more often than not, actually. And really, really good players, Hall of Fame caliber players in the last 25 years have had this same thing happen. And it's kind of par for the course, and it's a little more surprising nowadays when it doesn't happen. So, it's definitely not easy on anyone involved, but we really need to keep our perspective here, and this is just a very temporary bump in the road, is my estimation.
Is there any part of you that worries that he was rushed maybe a little too much and came here before he was ready, or do you think it was still beneficial for him to be here even if he didn't perform well?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what this all boils down to. I mean, it's hard to say. We moved him very fast in the minors, but it's because he was doing so well. We were kind of trying to get him to a spot where he's challenged, and then gets all the way through AAA, comes into spring training, looks pretty good there. It was hard for me to know, you know, exactly where he was based on the evidence that I was working with. And like the way that this has gone in April totally? No, and I feel responsible for that, but it's possible, just like it was for Grayson or Colton Cowser or any of these guys, that this was sort of a necessary development episode to be exposed to this before you're fully ready for it. And now the work that you put in, you kind of know exactly what you need to do when you get back up there, and that's valuable. So, it comes at a cost to get that negative feedback, but it's valuable. And I guarantee you Jackson's going to channel that well.
Are you as confident in the player that Jackson Holliday is going to be as you were 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago?
100%. And, you know, perhaps more so with just the way he handled himself through this and, you know, learning second base really quickly on the fly. And, you know, I couldn't be more excited about him as a Oriole and then also as a talent that anybody who's a fan of this sport is going to be able to watch. So he's got an extremely bright future. We just need to polish up some things for a 20-year-old.
On another subject, John Means is making his rehab assignment on Sunday, and presumably that's his final one before he comes back. How difficult are those decisions going to be about who's going to start and who's going to go to the bullpen?
A decision about having too much pitching? Yeah, I'll take that. We're planning for it. You know, we've got a trajectory of what things will look like when these guys get back, but the reality is other players are apt to get hurt, and so we'll just kind of deal with it all on a day-to-day basis. No decisions have been made about roles or things like that on the pitching staff, but obviously we're having planning discussions around different scenarios. We're excited to get John back and hopefully Kyle Bradish and Cionel Perez, all three of them will be welcome with open arms, and we can figure out ways to have more good pitchers help out on this pitching staff, that's for sure.
Can you talk a little bit about Cade Prokic, the kind of season he's having right now?
Cade's doing great in Triple-A. You know, this is, I think, what we were hoping to see from him. He's, you know, somebody internally that we've been very high on since we've traded for him. And I think to kind of see these type of numbers in Triple-A has been a nice reassurance of what we thought he was capable of. So he's getting really good experience there. And I think one thing that he's still working on, despite the statistical success, is maybe getting a little more efficient with his pitch counts. But it's hard to – I'm nitpicking just because you're asking the question. It's hard for me to – poke too many holes in what he's doing. He's gaining valuable experience. He's really, really close. Really, you know, a great development for us so far. I hope he keeps going and staying healthy.
Mike, you were talking about, you know, all the good things Jackson did, and it seemed like certainly playing infield, he was major league ready. Is he a guy that, you know, if something happens in the club, injury or otherwise, he could come up again, or is it with his mandates and some of his feedback he's got and is working on, is it going to be some time before we see Jackson back up here, you think?
I think, you know, obviously with the importance of him and his future, we're going to try to prioritize his own development in the short term, but this is a Major League Baseball team that's trying to win every game, and if something, God forbid, happens to somebody, and we need Jackson, and he's our best option, you know, that'll be on the table. And, you know, that's happened in the past, too, and that's the mode that we're in right now. So as long as he's down there, and, you know, may not be very long, we don't know, but as long as he's down there, we're going to have a plan for him. He's going to be putting work in, but he also will be ready for whenever his name's called.
How much more do you want to see from Kobe Mayo, and when you think he might be ready to come up and potentially play third base?
Yeah, Kobe is doing really well. Very obviously proud of him and where he's at. We are having to, you know, do a bit of thought about where to concentrate his defensive efforts, because his, you know, his defensive home, especially for a big-bodied guy like he is naturally behind his bat. We've got some options there, and it's something that we talk about and kind of examine in the context of our team on an ongoing basis. But when you're in AAA performing well, you're close, you're in the conversation. But I will stress, as we've, you know, just experienced here, how significant this jump from AAA to the majors is. And, you know, you can't just look at somebody's AAA stats and kind of imagine those stats in the majors and that's how it's going to go. So, you know, we have our methods for trying to predict when we think these guys are ready to be productive up here. As I've just demonstrated, those methods aren't foolproof, but, you know, it's the best that we have, and we're keeping an eye on those with him. And he's, again, like the other guys we've talked about, somebody who has put himself in a position where he's being talked about a lot by me and Brandon and management.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.